Everyone, welcome to another backlogged episode of the Supercarcast. This was recorded much earlier this year. This is episode 10, and quite a few updates, some pretty interesting stuff. Drew's Land Rover exploded. We had another number of updates, and I don't know, it was just a great episode in general. There are some audio hiccups here and there. That's why these episodes end up getting so delayed. So please bear with us, and hopefully in 2021, we will have those all resolved and we'll be back in studio. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
Well, welcome everybody to the what I believe is the 10th episode of the Supercarcast. Joining me as usual are my fellow co-hosts, Nick, Andre, and Drew. You guys want to say hi?
Hello.
First?
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everyone.
Depending
Hello,
where you
America.
Are. Wait, there you go. Screw our international audiences, apparently.
America, third world.
So, I don't know, last episode we had quite a bit going on, and I feel like this episode we have a fair amount to talk about.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I feel like we could do one of those, like, Top Gear intros, like, tonight, Oliver has a broken down BMW, Drew gets COVID, and Nicholas works on his guns. Andre still is in, I don't know. Andre is still working with the BMW. not working on a BMW.
Oh, there you go. Now you got two. I was going to say the only thing that was plausible out of that list was you having COVID.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Your BMW. You said it almost broke down when you were driving it. So we'll get started with you.
Yeah. Well, that's inaccurate. It doesn't almost break down when I drive it. It's if I launch it, the drive shaft sounds like it's about to fall out of the car. But that's it still runs and drives. Like, I drive it to California. It just don't launch it. But, yeah, okay, fine. We'll start with my project updates. So last episode I had, I don't know if I had done anything with the M3. So I don't think there's anything to recap there. But the last couple of days I'm pretty eventful. This morning I actually dropped it off at a shop. Which was good because I'm going to take care of that drive shaft issue. So far, he had texted me once earlier today, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I thought it was like maybe the Guibo or the trans mounts." Because what happens is, say you're in like first gear, and you like roll off the line just a little bit, so you're like moving like, you know, 2-3 miles an hour, and then you floor it, so it's like a full launch. It starts thudding, and you can hear the thud is coming from like somewhere in the transmission tunnel area. So naturally, like drive shaft, and I'm thinking like, well, maybe like the Guibo is starting to wear out, so it's allowing it to move. Maybe the center support bearing, so it's a two-piece drive shaft. It has a like center carrier that it rides on. Maybe it's the trans mounts, like it's flexing enough that it's causing something to come into contact. So far, we've rolled out trans mounts and Guibo, which I had looked at them and they looked okay, but he's like, yeah, no, they're definitely fine. So those aren't the cause. So it's either center support bearing or diff bushings. So we'll see what happens. I'm really hoping
Did you just do diff, or did you just have the rear subframe out and then like all those bushings done?
Yeah, so I just had, so at the time I took the M3 to a shop, right? And the main job it was there for was to get the rear trailing arm bushing pockets reinforced, like they welded in a plate there. And I was like, well, dude, you got to drop all this stuff. Would you be able to do the bushings too? And like, he just short of like refused to do the diff bushings, and I don't know why, because he had the subframe out of the car. Like, he did the subframe bushings, which I don't know if he left like the diff attached and suspended in the car or what. I don't know. He didn't send me any photos. This is the one thing that makes me nervous with going to shops, is I don't know how they do things. But he did all the subframe bushings, but he wouldn't do the diff bushings, right?
Yeah,
he kept insisting that they were in good condition, and when I had poked my head underneath there, they looked okay. But I forgot, because I'm used to like E30 things, that there's actually three diff bushings in an E36. There's two in the rear, and then there's one like in the subframe in the front, right? And the front one in the subframe is kind of like, it's prone to failing and then snapping the bolt there, which allows the whole thing to rotate under load. So it might be that one. The good news is I preemptively, because I had like poly diff bushings on the shelf, which I didn't want to use, but I had them. I threw them in the trunk of the car. So if he comes back and he tells me it's diff bushings, I'll be like, hey, good news. There's diff bushings in the car. Do it.
Open the trunk.
Surprise. There's more parts.
Surprise.
Yeah. So I, it's getting fixed one way or another. Cause I'm sick of this. It's like, I can't even do a donut in the car, which is embarrassing. So, yeah, that's kind of the main thing. The other thing is I have a working radio. And let me tell you, what a saga. Did I ever tell the full story? I think it was holding off because it was like in deliberation, right?
Yeah.
Where should I start?
Start at the beginning. With the company name.
Well, so let's work to the company name because it starts a little bit before that. Like this whole thing is I hate aftermarket head units, like stereos for cars. I think for the most part, they never look well, like right in the interior. For whatever reason, like they stopped updating designs in 1995. Like
they got about the 04 where you get the little digital screen with the dolphins.
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah, right.
I had that in my Acura.
Yeah. So I was like, my options were like dolphins or like, I don't know, a really complicated like Bluetooth amp, which is difficult in my M3 because I already have an amp in there. And Nick and I had talked about this, and like I was exploring that option, so I wouldn't have any head unit, but I would still be able to like Bluetooth stream my music. My preferred option was to just have a stock head unit, but like add some functionality to it. And I found a company that would be able to add like an aux port into the back and also repair it because my stock head unit was broken. So like when I'd be driving down the road, I think you guys have ridden with me when I was doing that, right? Like you'd be going down the road and like you'll hit a slight bump and the whole radio will turn off. And then you hit another bump and the radio will turn on. So it's pretty embarrassing.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah. It's a common issue with those radios. It's the C33, I think it's called, for you BMW nerds who are paying attention to radio codes. I really wanted to keep it. So I was like, okay, I found this company in Long Beach called German Audio Tech. And I'm fully willing to name them and shame them at this point because screw them, frankly. So they repair like a whole bunch of car radios and stuff like that. And that's one of their listed radios is like a service, like the C33 for BMWs this year to this year. You send it in, you know, you tell them what the issues are. And this was listed on the things that they'll repair. And they'll repair it, and then they have like an additional service. So like for an extra whatever $20, they'll add an aux port in the back with like a little wire, and then you can route it somewhere in your car. So my plan was to put like a little Bluetooth receiver in there, and then I could have the stock head unit with like Bluetooth streaming, and I'd be good to go. Needless to say, I sent it in, get it back, and like same day I get it back, I plug it into the car, and now like it doesn't power on at all. Before it would at least power on, it just wouldn't stay on consistently. Now it just straight up dead, would not power on. I was like, okay, so I did some self-checking to see maybe I like blew a fuse. Nothing looked wrong, so I was like, all right, well, let me email the guy, and I say, hey, you know, look, here's the issue. The radio came back non-functional. Anything you want me to check? Could you send me a shipping label? You know, I'll be happy to send it back, stuff like that. And the owner of this company is a real prick. Like, I mean, I hate to put us in a position where we're bashing on a company like this, but like his response was basically, yeah, his
I'll allow it.
All right, there you go. Thank you for the permission. his whole response was just like, what do you mean non-functional? The radio works perfectly. I was like, well, it doesn't. But all right, let's go through this. So like, I mean, I kept you guys all updated while I was firing emails back and forth to this guy. And I'd be like, well, it doesn't. So what do you want to do about it? And he's like, it must be your car. Check your fuses. And then I sent him a photo of my fuses because like there's two different fuses it could be. And I'm like, they're both fine. He's like, well, it's probably the wiring harness is bad. And like, I got out the multimeter and like, I looked up a wiring diagram. I checked the consistent, like I was getting 12 volts where I need to get 12 volts. And I was like, look, the radio, like, even if I hit the eject button on the cassette player, it spins. So, like, clearly the unit is getting power, it's just not turning on. So, like, you know, that's not right. So we've gone through this whole list, and finally he tells me, like, I've proven without a shadow of a doubt, like, this radio is just not good. I'm like, you need to give me a shipping label so I can send it back, because I've already paid to ship it to you initially and back from you. Why should I have to pay it to ship it both ways again? You know, that just doesn't seem fair. And he's like, the radio worked perfectly. I don't know what to tell you. And that's it. He just shut off all communications. He wouldn't talk to me anymore. So it's like, all right, I opened a PayPal case. But for anyone who's aware, you know, PayPal cases, they don't cover services. So this was technically a repair service. So by default, I lost the case because it was a repair service. They won't cover that. They won't protect the buyer. They recommended that I open a chargeback with my credit card. I did that. And he fired back that he had tested the radio and it was positive, and that if I wanted to pay to ship it back, I always had that option. And Capital One, or I guess Visa in this case, right, deemed that good enough to rule in his favor. Like, well, you had the option. I was like, that's not the point. So I need a new radio. And Andre, I think you will attest that this was a hill I was willing to die on.
Like, it's a weird hill, but I guess everybody has that hill.
I was beyond determined not to get an ugly aftermarket head unit, because like it was starting to look like that was my only option. You know, these C33 radios go for like $300-$400 online, you know, on eBay and stuff like that, because like finding a working one is pretty rare these days, and it's a lot of money to dump into something that has very little functionality beyond, you know, FM radio. So I was like, all right, friend of a friend had a radio sitting on a shelf. He bought a Z3 non-M coupe, and he had swapped it out for like some Alpine head unit, and he had a CD43 radio. So again, nerdy stuff that no one needs to know. But the point is, it's like an upgraded version of the radio. So a little bit better inline amp, CD player, stuff like that. Those things normally go for like $500-$600 on eBay. And he's like, $150, come pick it up. And like that was a month ago, and I was like, I don't know, $150 for a stock radio. Should I do it? Should I not? And then like life happens, like, you know, obviously we're kind of in the middle of a crazy time. So we kind of went back and forth on it for a month. And finally I was like, screw it. I'm sick of not having a radio. I drove out, you know, for those listening, we live in Arizona. I live in the East Valley area. And I drove out to just West Valley. It was an hour and 10 minutes out one way to pick this thing up. So just for a head unit, picked it up, drove back home, put it in the car, works perfectly. There is nothing wrong with my M3. So German audio tech can suck it.
Hey, what do you say to your email?
Nothing. Yeah. So I sent him an email just to try to get the last word, because obviously I'm out $100 with the service, which is a little annoying. And, you know, find whatever he can keep the money. But I just want to have the last word, like, here, you know, here's beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're wrong. So I sent him an email proving he's obviously never going to respond to me, because he has nothing to gain from it and everything to lose. But I got the self-satisfaction of having the last word, like, my car is fine. You're just not very good at repairing radios. So,
did you leave any reviews?
Not yet. I'm planning on it. He's if you ever look up the reviews, any one-star review, he tends to be very rude towards, obviously, back. But also, typically, he makes people look like, you know, a raving idiot compared to his good reviews. Which it's because like a lot of bad reviews aren't very eloquent, like they're not put together very well. So I just, I wanted to make sure that I put together something that like warns people not to buy from him, because like, I'm sure if he does a good job on your radio, it's no big deal. Like it's there back. You never talk to him again. You don't have to deal with the customer service side, but like, God forbid you actually have something go wrong during the course of your service. Cause he's a nightmare to deal with. And like, I just don't understand why. You're a small business. You'd think you'd want to work with the customers, right? So, I don't know. So that's a really roundabout way of saying that I put another stock radio in my car. But I did. and I'm so happy about it. Driving without a radio is stupid. No offense to a future update I think we'll hear tonight. But I didn't realize how much I hated it, you know, not having music. So, yeah. How's that for an update?
I like it. I like it. It works. You're happy. And the car is at a shop and it's going to come together and should be sitting pretty good for you.
Yeah. I am contemplating.
Talk about your wheels? Look, you're looking at, or
yeah, I was gonna say I'm contemplating some other changes too. Man, I could just rattle off. It's like I got daily changes, I got M3 changes. Like, oh boy, this is all planned. None of it has actually happened. Yeah, I don't know. You guys, here we can circle back around to me if we want to go through some of your other stuff. Because,
well, man, it's do from I have you plenty. It's from you too. I have so many questions about the fire sale of Drew's.
Well. All right, so let's go through some of Drew's stuff before we talk about my boring daily stuff and wheel setups and stuff like that. Drew, you've had a lot happen.
A
couple weeks, because last time we talked, the Rover was up for sale.
Yeah.
Then some things transpired.
Transpired.
You got that.
Kill me. So... I've had a cough for a while. Went and got tested for COVID. That was 12 days ago. Still no response, which is pretty unacceptable. But so I've been hanging out at home pretty much.
Now like, hey, you're quarantined.
No, he said pretty much.
Oh, right. Wow. Okay. So he's bought three cars since. Okay.
No, I haven't bought any cars, which has killed me because I've seen a bunch of good cars. And then also I need help doing the valves on this Volkswagen, but I'm not inviting anybody over to my house right now.
Didn't you drive last Saturday with a bunch of people? Never mind. Continue on.
Yikes.
Anyways, pretty much been hanging out at home. And the doctor said he's 95% sure it's bronchitis anyways, but yeah, still waiting for results. So I disinfect the key and like use a plastic bag. I'm like, yo, dude, key's in the door. Go for a test drive, you know, just be respectful, please. Guy's gone for like 30 minutes and, you know, I'm kind of working on this bus and my wife goes like, man, he's really taking that thing out for a long test drive, huh? I'm like, yeah, like, I hope it doesn't break down or I hope it didn't break down or something, like just joking. Mind you, I drove this car like 15 miles earlier that day. Mm-hmm. Like I woke up, I went and I'm like, you know, there's a guy coming today. I'll give it one last drive. Totally fine. No issues. Went on the freeway. No big deal. Then like 10 minutes after I said that to my wife, I get a text saying, hey, I think the transmission just exploded on this. I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know. Won't go into gear. I'm like, where are you? And he's like... I'm on the intersection, basically a stone's throw from my house.
In the middle of the intersection, the photo looked like 5 minutes away.
Yeah. You could have probably stood up in your backyard, looked out across that parking lot, and seen it.
So I decided to go over there, and there's a fire truck there and police officer. And I'm like, what the hell am I walking into? And this guy just starts, like, I cross street into, like, you know, to go look at the car. And he runs up as loud as he can, yelling, what the F word? And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I look at the cop. I'm like, I don't know this guy. It was test driving. It's my car. I don't want to get punched in the face right now. So I, like, stood by the cop. And I'm like, dude, you gotta chill out. Like, what happened, man? Like, what happened to my Land Rover? And he's like, I was just driving it, and all of a sudden, I heard this loud bang, and
you know, then people said there was fire coming out from underneath it and, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, well, what the hell, dude? So long and short of it is the axle ended up snapping and
drive shaft, right?
Drive shaft. Thank you. I keep mixing that up, man, but the drive shaft snapped. Yeah. And then on its rotation out of its home, it decided to take the transmission with it. So I posted on the Land Rover forum, like AZ Land Rover. And I guess that guy has been kind of shady with a couple other people on the forum as well. So I find that interesting. And then somebody on there kind of took pity on me and was like, hey, man, I got extra transmission for it. I'll sell it to you for $60. So,
oh, nice.
Wow, yeah, that sounds nice.
Yeah, so I really just got to get this Volkswagen bus out of my garage and then go take care of that. So,
gotcha. It ends pretty well then, minus it blowing up, causing a fire truck, a guy dick-nosing it out of a mask. And it you that's a true. Transmission for 60, so it's going to be really solid then. And
yeah, I'll probably do the transaxle seals while I'm in there too. I'm just like debating if I should sell it or, and like, I don't know. I should just sell it. I really don't have any purpose for it otherwise.
I was going to say, it doesn't really serve any purpose in your fleet anymore.
Yeah.
And just get rid of it before something else happens.
Yeah. I just, you know, it was kind of a gut punch. I was pretty depressed because I was like, dude, I did so much stuff to this thing and, yeah. You know, just trying to make sure it was prepared and, yeah, like no telltale signs of that thing going out, and you know it is what it is. So
I wonder, because it's tough since you weren't there to know if that guy did something incorrectly or what, but like I can't even imagine what you could do to cause that to happen. Like it looked like it broke at the U-joint and then spun around and smacked the transmission. Yep,
exactly. The only thing that, you know, me and a couple other people were thinking is that U-joint, I mean, those tend to fail. Mm-hmm. They really don't tend to fail, though, at low speeds. But I'm curious if maybe he had, you know, possibly tried to, like, jam it into low going too fast or something like that. And that would cause it to kind of
buck and...
Yeah, exactly. To not be very happy, but you know, is what is.
Now, I had a question. I was saving this for the podcast. So, like, the fire truck came. I saw it looked like they put some like street cleaner underneath it. Like,
no, that was just transmission fluid.
So it was all trans fluid on the ground.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy. So did they charge you for showing up or anything like that, or was there any?
No.
It was just a tow home, or like how did that work?
They actually helped me push it into the Ace parking lot, and then just grabbed the Raptor and two tow straps. I just drug it home.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, so close. You may as well.
Yeah, I mean, like literally, it's like 100 yards.
Yeah. Crazy. So what was he doing for half an hour before he contacted you?
I don't know. He said he went into a parking lot and he got underneath it, checked it for leaks, went through all that stuff. And I don't know, man. I have no idea. It is the most weird thing. It is bizarre to me.
So yeah. Where that hits super bizarre is I'm going to throw out a few things that what his story was that makes it a little bit more bizarre just from my cheap seats. You took it to a parking lot to go get underneath it and look for leaks. It's 113 degrees out. That parking lot is going to be 147 degrees to the touch. Like,
yeah, I thought about that too. Go on.
Like you have that. If the moment this would have happened, I would have then been like, hey, I'm here. And then I would have contacted you immediately and been like, hey, this happened. Like an example, like when our friend forgot to torque down the wheels and the wheel fell off a car. He called the other guy immediately. But it wasn't just like, all right, we're going to get it back together and then, or do this.
You know, this one time, So this one time I test drove an old Volvo before I bought mine. Mm-hmm. And I showed up to the guy's house. It was me and my old roommate, Matt. We show up to this guy's house, and we're looking at this thing, and it's, like, cool. And I'm, like, excited because it was the first one I looked at. And it was, like, 5 minutes from our house. And I was like, well, can I, like, go test drive it? And the guy tosses me the keys, and he's like, yeah, just, like, go rip it around. You know, just be careful, whatever, don't crash it. And I was like, cool. So me and Matt jump in, and we start driving. And, like, 20 feet down the road, Matt's like, hey, why don't we just take it to our house and jack it up and then look like look it over real good because, like, we have all the tools. I was like, that's a great idea. And so, like, I rip it to my, you know, back to our house, pull in the driveway. We both get out, go into the garage. We walk outside, and this thing is just smoking like Dave's barbecue pit, just, like, on fire. And so we start freaking out. We're like, oh, my God, it's on fire in our driveway. It's about to burn down. Oh, God, we're freaking out. He's going to grab water. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I mean, we were gone for, like, 30, 40 minutes, like, trying to figure – and it was just leaking so much oil under the exhaust, but it was smoking so bad that we couldn't, like, tell what was happening.
Oh, my God. And he didn't, and like, so, message, like, you, or?
No. And, like, so I just waited till it cooled off enough to, like, stop billowing smoke. And then, like, we figured out what it was. And I was like, okay, well, let's just limp it back to his house. And we limped it back to his house and gave him the keys. I was like, yeah, I'll think about it. Thanks. Bye.
But you didn't call the fire department.
Yeah, mind you, the police and the fire department was already there.
Well, like, yeah, but I mean, like,
you have to call 911. Hello, 911. How may I help you? My car's on fire. Okay, where's your car at? Well, you know, I don't live around here, so I think I'm from a Fry's parking lot. Was that? I think Cooper and Warren. Okay, are you sure about that? Yeah. No, I mean, the street was blocked off, dude.
Yeah,
the guy had been sitting there for like 10 fucking minutes. Excuse my language. And, but.
No, but it, and that's where it's at. Yeah, sure, the fire department's 300 yards down the other intersection. That's awesome, yeah. By the way, that's right there. But nevertheless, you call.
Oh, I know. My dogs go crazy every time.
I was going to say, you know. But like, that's where it comes into. It's like, hey, I check on it in a parking lot. Bullshit. Because there's not a parking lot.
Not that weekend. Yeah.
Not that weekend. And where he was at in the center turn, you know, like where it was in the center.
Yeah, it looked like he was like turning left somewhere while
into
it
the
happened.
Parking lot.
Yeah, or he was driving, gunning it down, down Warner, and then it went, and I don't know, man. Either way, it sucks. I the guy's reaction, like, was. Dude, it was crazy. I really thought he was going to come punch me in the face. Like,
why? Like, see, that reaction makes no sense either, too. Like, you're okay. Why would you be mad at someone? Like,
I guess
you did that intentionally?
I would have been scared on the opposite side. If I'm test driving somebody's car and that happened, I would be like, oh, shit. I have to call this guy and tell him that the transmission blew up. Holy shit.
I mean, he ran full
speed at me, yelling, "What the fuck!" Like screaming it, and I just dodged around the police officer. I'm like, I'm not getting punched in the face today. Like this thing drove totally fine. Yeah, sorry.
No, I was just saying, but like when me and Matt spent a good 5 minutes looking at this car smoking, thinking, "How are we going to tell this guy his car burnt down in our driveway?" So, you know, maybe he was doing that for a half hour, just standing there debating what to tell you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess he could debate, but then when Drew showed up to explode and be angry at him, like, under what circumstances would someone rig a car to explode during a random test drive? Like, clearly Drew did not want this to happen. It doesn't benefit him in any way, you know?
I don't know. People are weird.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
It was bizarre, dude. I felt so it was just weird thing. And honestly, like at first I was like, well, things happen, but the more and more I think about it, I'm just like, I feel like he was probably doing something stupid in there.
He's probably just abusing it past its limits, you know, jamming it into gears, slamming brakes, stuff like that. I know some people test drive cars like that. Like, yeah, obviously you want to brake a little bit hard, accelerate a little bit hard, make sure like the car is healthy. But I know some people who like they treat a test drive like a demolition derby. Like they're like, all right, time to see what this thing can take.
Yeah,
and it sounds like
if it survives this, it will survive anything.
Right,
that's not a Land Rover. Those are fragile little eggs.
Right. if it makes it down the road, then maybe it'll make it down your road.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, man, but it sounds like you got to hook up on the trans, and so hopefully you'll be able to have a happy ending with all that. But geez,
yeah, it's just gonna nightmare. It's gonna be a whole lot of work. It's probably gonna be a whole weekend, but it is what it is.
Do you have a
trans? I take it you haven't heard from that guy.
No, but I need one.
You can use one.
Thank you. No, but as I said, I posted it on Easy Land Rover. That guy reached out to another guy in AZ Land Rover, and the guy had his Land Rover and Flagstaff, and the guy's like, yeah, dude, I'll meet you in Prescott. And he's like, well, I don't have a trailer, you know, I gotta drive home. He's like, you know, if you can meet me down there, I'll give you full cash. So dude rents a trailer, drives to Prescott, and the guy stands him up, won't answer his calls, won't answer his texts, nothing.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
he's a tire kicker.
He's a trash person.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man, but get that new trans in, get it sold, get it out of your life. Exactly. Time Hop reminded me that 1 year ago today, actually, I took your Land Rover through a car wash and accidentally washed myself and the inside of your donuts.
Nice. So. Oh, speaking of which, the moonroof on the Raptor stopped working. That's a typical Ford issue. So, yeah.
Switch your AC stops working. That's also a typical Ford issue.
Oh boy! Yeah. Oh boy! Well,
fortunately, you don't need a moonroof to tow, so I think you'll be okay.
No. I did drive the 930. That was awesome. I'm starting to get a lot more confidence in that car.
How was that drive? It looked like a eclectic group of cars. I think would be the way.
a very fast group of cars. So. That the Veloster N, which I know you love.
It's a good car. Like
that guy was talking about, he's like, it's like the only thing better is the Honda Type R, but the Honda Type R is 10 grand more. Mm. But if you look at the interior, you see where the 10 grand spent at. Like the interior, and that sucks.
Yeah. Agreed. But I mean,
the car was awesome, cheap. Man. Yeah. He had hand cooks on it, and it was flying. I was really impressed with it.
The steering's good, and just, I mean, Andre can attest, because we both went to that test drive. You put it in the, like, N mode, and the exhaust is the most hilarious thing ever from the factory. It
sounds awesome. We were hearing that. He did a resonator delete on it, and there's just these amazing, like, crackles, and just, it sounded pretty rad.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that even stock. It's just absurd. It's just, it's fun, you know, I personally still think the whole three-door thing is dumb. It's just, I don't like it. It's not to my taste, but I can overlook that because it just drives so damn well. Like it steers well, it accelerates well, like it feels good to drive. And then just like the exhaust and the turbo spool and everything. It's just fun, you know?
What do you mean by three-door, like two doors and a hatch?
Did you not notice that one side of the car has two doors and the other side of the car has one door?
No, I didn't spend much time looking at it. It's pretty ugly, to be honest.
Well, next time you see a Veloster, go to the driver's side and it has one door. Go to the passenger side. I just
saw this, and that is stupid as fudge.
I can't believe you didn't notice that. I hate
No, as I said, I didn't spend too much time looking at it because it was... It's an ugly car. It's not a good looking car at all.
No. I think sorry, go ahead.
No. Andrew? No.
No. No, please do.
No. I hear the rebuttal.
So some people think your Porsche is ugly.
Ooh.
Yeah. So.
And you are lucky we are. You are lucky we are not in studio. There would be a brawl right now.
Hey man, doesn't bother me. I enjoy my car. I didn't buy it for anybody else.
I think the Veloster N definitely does a lot to look cooler than like the base model Velosters, because like it's got the like diffuser in the rear with like the IMSA, like the you know racing light. It's got that high mount like wing, like it adds all of the like race car bits, so it's hyper aggressive. It doesn't do much for the door situation, and the general shape is kind of awkward. But like again, I can forgive all of that because you don't have to look at the damn thing when you're driving it. So,
I don't know. I did really think the original one of those was cool, but now looking back on that, that's a pretty ugly car too.
Yeah, it hasn't aged well.
No, I don't think this car will age well. Gosh, that weed whacker. No, Aaron brought his why can't I think RX-7, there we go, FD RX-7, and you know he's done a ton of work to that thing. I was looking at that and I was just like, man, this is not even the same car that we worked on. You know, it has new engine, new transmission. He got a lot of the interior pieces replaced, so like the old worn out leather's gone. He got like this JDM back seat, which is like there's like two in the country, which is pretty cool. And he got those custom wheels, and they actually look pretty darn good on the car. I was impressed. I was just looking at this and like, you've turned this into a pretty clean build. I'm proud.
There you go.
So you know he was on there, and then a 600 horsepower twin turbo 300ZX. And Jesus. Then, yeah, no, it was cool. And yeah, it was fun. And then a 400 or 500 horsepower 300ZX as well. And then a C5. And am I forgetting anything else? I think that's it. And then, you know, a couple of BMWs showed up while we were there. And saw a C8 on the Canyons. And that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Nice.
That was ripping it. Yeah.
And you took the 930, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 At least the first time you took it out there, you said it was pretty scary. So I guess with you saying you're getting used to it, like you're able to use most of the power band now, or like you still.
I'm still holding back a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to roll on and also off the throttle.
There, you know, can't just let go.
No. It jerks. It unsettles the car too much, especially going in or out of a corner. You know, and the big difference too is I think last time when I did it, I had a half tank, and you definitely want a full tank when you're in the twisties. Kind of keep that weight up on the front tires.
So going in, you're faster than going out.
Yeah,
so this is,
maybe. I was faster going out, but as I said, it's more seat time. I think I could have wrecked it in an AS 2000.
I was just thinking, all of us have driven tortilla flats quite a few times. Do you guys prefer driving in that area or do you prefer driving out?
Out.
Nick?
In.
Andre?
I don't know. I'm not really a fan of that place.
Okay, but if you just thinking to the drive in versus the drive out, what do you prefer?
I don't know. I haven't been there in a while.
You could probably literally just pick either.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. In? Sure.
No preference?
I was going to say out. So we're 50-50. And it's interesting because I think with that road, it's the same road, obviously, but it's very different experience, you know, mm-hmm. one way or the other. I find going out, it's you're on throttle the entire time.
Yeah,
it's,
I agree.
It's a lot higher rev, higher speed. Whereas going in, for whatever reason, and I couldn't tell you why, but it's like it's a lot more lower gears, heavy braking.
You know, for me on that, it's I see so many people cheat that inside corner that I go pretty slow on the way in, and then also I feel more comfortable after I've seen the whole section of road. So I know I'm not going to hit like a random rock that's been kicked up, or that's why I think I feel more comfortable coming out, is I've already kind of seen it, and you know, there shouldn't be as many surprises.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, that's just pre-running it, I guess. Right. But even just, I think like the road grades, like the percentage of uphill versus mm-hmm. downhill, and then also just like where it puts you in the corners, it just allows for a lot more speed. So
I agree. When you think about it, when you're going in, you are on that like inside corner. So those corners are all tighter because you're on the inside.
Mm-hmm. What were you saying, Nick?
Yeah. And so that delves part of into the point is how tight of a corners can you get in? How tight can your vehicle turn? It depends on your power band, right? For you guys, you have X number of power, so you have to be a lot on gas and brake. If you drive a momentum car, you're not really on brake that much. You're letting off throttle a little bit going into those corners, and you're back onto it immediately. Mm-hmm.
That goes to my comment of I could wreck it in a 2000 in a S2000.
That's why I like going in the one way. It's tighter corners. I'm all momentum. If I mm-hmm. have to brake hard, I'm not getting up the hill. I mean, I just did it in a 4Runner, and that was not exciting.
I just did a TSX and it was miserable.
Yeah.
So tell us about why that was. Well, we should probably circle to Andre and Nick, but I'm really curious, I guess, while we're talking about why was it so miserable in the TSX?
Yeah, I mean, well, we're talking tortilla flats, so we may as well. So here's the thing, right? Like, one, there's the context. You know, you're in your daily driver versus, you know, you have a fun car at home, right? So the entire time, I was just thinking, like, man, this would be way more fun in the M3. Just the entire drive. So there's that. Just the mental, you know. And I'm sure, Nick, when you were in the 4Runner, you were like, man, I wish I had the Miata right now.
I know. That wasn't a thought. The thought that kept coming to mind was Chinatown, California.
What?
And three and three wheels.
Right.
So that, I'll be honest, like, kind of yes, on the way back out, I was like, oh, man, I had a fun car, the Miata. On the way in, when there was somebody on my tail, and at first I went into it like I was in the Miata.
Oh, Jesus.
And yeah.
We're lucky you're here.
I all of a sudden into that first corner went, oh, hi. Oh, three wheels. Oh, no. Mm. Oh, no. This is nope. Okay. Nope. We're done. And then I never thought about the Miata again the whole time. The new objective was survive.
Yeah. Man, boy, did you assert the dominance on the guy behind you.
he backed off really far after that.
He's like, oh, this guy's a psychopath. yeah, I don't know. So, like, for the TSX, it was just, for me, it was part of that, right? Like, man, I wish I had my M3. But the other thing is, like, look, it's a 2011, and it's an automatic, right? Because all the wagons were automatic. And 2011 automatics are just objectively worse than the ones that we have today. Like today, a lot of enthusiast cars, even with automatics, are decent. They shift quickly. They respond quickly. They know when to hold a gear. They know, you know, stuff like that. Like the technology has come leaps and bounds in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
This transmission just horribly dates the car. And I get it. It's not a performance transmission. It's, you know, it's a TSX wagon. it does have a so-called sport mode, and what the sport mode does is allow you to like hold it in a gear, and it like changes the throttle mapping, I think, a little bit, because it's a little bit more sensitive to throttle input. So I put it into the sport mode, so it would like hold second, third, whatever. And like I'm going down this road, and the problem is like when you come off of throttle, the torque converter would like unload, right? So you would brake for the corner, you'd like turn in, and I'm not going fast because like this thing's got kind of spongy brakes and it's heavy and fun, like
rolls over.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a boat. But like the second you get back on throttle, like with any aggression at all in the sport mode, like the whole car just bucks because it like loads up the torque converter, and then there's like a solid second, and then it sends the power to the wheels, and it just makes for such a jerky, miserable experience. Like there's no smooth on off throttle the entire time. It's impossible. It's not like you have to modulate it. You just can't. And it sucks, right? Like the entire time, like the chassis is pretty decent. Like it's responsive. It turns in surprisingly well for being a heavy, slow car on like all season fat tires. It's just that transmission. It's just for any sort of fun driving, it's useless. It's completely useless. And by the time I got to the end of the road, Tortilla Flat there, I went for a photo because I went the afternoon after Drew went, because I was just bored out of my skull, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna go out there. I get to the end of the road, I'm like, this has got to go. I can't keep this wagon. It's too bad in the twisties to be any fun, you know. So I took my sweet time getting out of there, and yeah, I don't know, but that's the long and short of it. It's just that transmission, man.
Yeah, no, that can make for a terrible experience for sure.
Yeah. And it is. It's not, you know, it's not like the old school Hondas of the past where, you know, it's 2,100 pounds. I'm sure that's what, 32, 34?
It's like 37, I think. It's heavy. It's a really heavy car. And they put the four cylinder, it's the K24, which is like, it's a good engine. You can feel like it revs and it pulls. And like, once it starts going, like once you get high in that power band, it actually pulls okay. I hate using the word peppy, but it's got some pep. But like, it's seriously that transmission. It's just, I don't know. Obviously for commuting, it's a dream. Like you don't even acknowledge that the transmission's there. But the second, like, you're trying to put it through any sort of paces. And like, I would even say that if you're just trying to go up a steep mountain grade with like passengers in the car or something like that, so you got some weight in the car, and you put it into like the sport mode to keep it in like second gear, third gear, whatever, and you just use those paddle shifters, right? If you just use those paddle shifters in normal driving conditions, like the whole car just bucks around. It's like, it's not good. So I don't know. It's just me grumbling about an outdated transmission. You know, there's nothing actually wrong with the car. I'm just an insane asshole. So just to clarify, to make Andre happy with that one. So yeah, I want to replace the TSX. It's kind of the segue there. But I don't know if you guys want to jump into that, or I know Nick has got some stuff.
Nick and Andre, haven't gone yet.
I have nothing, so go for it, Nick.
Yeah, a couple things. Yeah, I do Tortilla Flats drive about once a week in the 4Runner now, so it's interesting. But
why the 4Runner and not the Miata?
Well,
because I have an 11.5-foot surfboard strapped to the top of it.
Oh. You should get a roof rack on the Miata.
I don't think that's going to work.
Bigger than the car? I think it would literally be half a foot. The car would barely be half a foot longer.
You could get one of the trunk racks too and like tie it to both, and then like you'd have some wicked rear downforce. It'd almost be like
alternatively, take off the hardtop and just put in your passenger seat so it's sitting straight up and down, and just see how much horsepower you lose, like what your 0 to 60 time is with this giant flat board sticking straight up.
It was already 14 seconds. Now, no,
oh boy,
no, it's but yeah, no. So, now do that. But other things. Oh, you mentioned air conditioning, and I know you had to fix it in the TSX.
That broke.
Yeah, I got a recall warning from Chevy today on the Volt.
Did you for what?
Apparently, the exhaust will rub through the AC line.
Wow.
So
that's cool.
You know, that's not a critical problem at all. So I got to get that fixed.
Which means you're going to have to drive it.
Yeah, I charged it. That thing, I will give it credit. It goes to protect its batteries like ridiculously well. Like I walk in the garage and the fan's just running on the car in the garage to go ahead and just protect its batteries. So it's like, and it's the same battery being used by Wire in the S2K EV car they're building.
That's cool.
So that was kind of, that's a cool build I just found this week. But looking at, and with that as well, I learned that I do need probably rock sliders for the 4Runner. I mean, I'm using a step stool, a step ladder to get to the top of the 4Runner. You know, that's a real thug move, getting out at the lake and pulling out your step stool from the back of it to have to stand on it to get to the top. But other than that, I think the big thing referencing was I actually finally bought a car part for the first time in months.
Damn.
So,
look at you, yeah. Enthusiasting.
Enthusiasting. Being
the so words. What'd you get?
So I got this. It was a part out from a guy in California who's, he wants to buy a house, so he's been parting out one of his just toy car. So I bought a radio delete panel for, so you put in a radio, I'm putting in a radio delete panel for the Miata. So it was done by a company in California, Retro Modern, that's done a lot of my other parts, but it was made one off for this guy. He was selling the full set, and then finally he just broke up his whole dash into pieces, and I picked that up today. So he will be shipping that out tomorrow. I'm gonna get a little bit more photos on the back. Apparently this thing has like a fan and a slot built into it to throw in an air freshener, and you can turn on a fan so it blows the air freshener in the car, which,
what a flex,
is kitschy, but seems as I put like the oil catch can directly by the fresh air intake for the car, it balances itself out. You get a little bit of oil. Actually, the oil smell is predominantly gone now that I fixed the valve cover gasket. Turns out, apparently, if you burn oil off the back of the trans all the time, that tends to give you a weird smell. So I did that. So that's going to be radio. Now, what I have to do, it is like a brushed aluminum. So I'm going to have to go ahead, look at it, see how much it's wired up together, tear the entire thing apart, powder coat it back out, and then put it in the car. So I'm going to test fit it probably first without it, but getting rid of the radio. So this is on the flip. So ever since I finished the car, I think I may have barely ran the radio like 15 minutes or so. But for the most part, every time I just shut the radio off the moment I turn the car on, it's the very first thing I do.
Right.
I just shut the radio off. So, if what I'm looking at, it might have actually something built in already for the Bluetooth setup. I might build in just something to wire up the Bluetooth thing and just build a very clean kind of wiring for it if I want to do Bluetooth radio down the road. And I know that was kind of your recommendation. But I am also...
Well, your recommendation.
That was your recommendation for that. But like you said, I'd want radio down the road.
I think you will at some point. Probably not right now because you got ITVs and you don't drive it that often, but I think at some point you're going to want that radio.
Yeah, I'm like the weird guy that will drive to work with no radio on in the car. Like, dead silence in the morning is my jam.
Okay.
So Nick really isn't from this planet. Our suspicions are confirmed.
And now for human music.
Okay, Google. But no, it's that's kind of where it's at. So finally bought a part. I'll go ahead and kind of tear apart the interior a little bit to do that. Still not fix the windows. But no, it's I actually have to get the windows up. They've been down for a while. So I'm going to do that. And then I've got a car cover that after the end of the podcast, I got to finish getting the customization set up on it and getting that ordered for the car. So
nice.
Two car things in one day for that car, which is a shocker.
Back to the build.
Back to the build. And then outside of that, I think the boredom it sat in of like the forerunner of like, all right, let's do something a moment. And so I've been playing around, toying around with those ideas, but it's the build out of it. Every time I start pricing everything out, like I'm going to be honest, I don't want to just dump 10, 15K into that right now.
Sure. Because, no, I'm with you.
So I'm going to just keep driving it the way it is, pissing off everybody that's behind me going up a hill. Because I'm giving it its best. You've driven it. So you know, like, if you lose any sort of momentum.
Tucson and back. It really is. It's the most frustrating thing in the world if you have to tap the brakes in that 4Runner. Like, to the point where you get mad that, like, someone cut you off or someone's moving slow or you couldn't get into the next lane. Because you're like, I just lost 10 miles an hour. It's going to take me 15 minutes to get that back.
It is. It is so bad on that. So I'm going to just keep driving the wheels off that. I do want to, now that I am driving it a little bit more often, I do got to get that seat fix that I forgot about.
In the 4Runner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus, please put any seat in there.
I forgot when we went to Radwood how much pain I was in when we got to Radwood. Agony. Until you drove it for as long as you did, you're like, the seat's terrible. And I was like, oh shit, I forgot. And now that I'm driving it like a couple hours at a go sometimes, it's like, okay, yeah, I can feel the springs in my spine. This is not great. So
it's also uneven. It's like it doesn't sit level. It's like half collapsed. Yeah. So you got these springs sticking in you and you're like half contorted sideways. It's
not good.
Get rid of it. It's bad. It's really bad.
So yeah, no, that's my car updates. I'm actually gonna go ahead and do that. Hopefully, like I said, the wiring on the back of the panel. I'm pretty stoked about it. I'll go ahead and get a photo sent to it in the chat. But it's pretty cool. It's just a really retro looking style and gets rid of it. So it's kind of mentioned with it will fit more in place with the rest of the build. So
nice.
That's about it though. Nothing else too much. I mean, you and I talked about, you're looking at the TSX getting rid of. I'm looking at potentially getting rid of the Chevy Volt. I know Drew's going to be like, I win.
I would never.
But to be fair.
You
did call it, but did you anticipate a global pandemic being the catalyst for getting rid of the Chevy Volt?
Oh, you know,
Nostradamus.
As a matter of fact, I think Nick is really the one behind all this stuff, just to have an excuse to tell the thing.
he had to save face. He's like, oh man, I bought the wrong car, but I can't let Drew know.
Nope.
I got just the thing.
Put up 5G towers everywhere. No.
So here's the thing. Nick and I have talked about this quite a bit. He wants to get rid of the Volt. I want to get rid of the TSX for similar reasons. Since this whole pandemic and everything like that, I fortunately/unfortunately have basically been stuck at home the entire time, right? Like, I work from home full time. And my job is basically said, even after this is all over, like, we're probably not bringing you back to the office. This kind of works great for us. You know, we're going to start cutting out overhead for, you know, office space. And we don't really have a need to keep you in office. And like, when I bought the TSX, I was working from home maybe like 1 or 2 days a week, depending on the week. But I still had to commute pretty often. And then like, I'd drive, you know, pretty long distances on a regular basis. That's just gone now. And like, the TSX doesn't really fit into that. it's cool. Like, I mean, it's a great daily. Zero complaints. It's comfortable. You know, it cruises well. When the AC works, it's cold. But, like, it doesn't really fit in my lineup anymore. Like, it doesn't fill a need. So, like, lately it's just been sitting. And, like, if I need to go somewhere, I'm like, I'm just going to take the M3 because it's way more fun. And the few occasions that I do get to drive right now, and especially in the future, let's make it an occasion. You know, let's take the loud race car. So I'm like, well, if I'm going to replace it, I'm going to replace it with something that will still be, like, comfortable but would be way more fun to drive, more of an occasion, you know, something modern that I could still use on a regular basis. So I've narrowed it down to a few options. I don't think I'm ready to talk what the options are on the podcast quite yet, but I feel like you're in the same boat, right, Nick?
Yeah, no. So I bought it. It's a super awesome appliance, and you'll always hear me kind of reference it as an appliance. It does. It's an amazing daily. I finally had heated seats and a steering wheel for the first time in my life.
Does it make coffee?
It probably could if I plug it into the USB port. And like I finally had Apple CarPlay. Like when I was driving it, I was driving to work every day, 5 days a week, and I had slated out, lack of better words, like a ton of travel to California and Utah and all these other places to go run these races I was doing. So it fit perfectly, and with it being like electric for around town, it was awesome. I mean, it's still on the dealership gas, but and that was with me not charging it. Like I've charged it twice during the pandemic, and actually have just been driving it without it because it's so efficient, it doesn't use fuel. But with that kind of being said, I've looked at it, and with that car, I've never flipped my odometer since I bought it. So I've done 1,200 miles on it, and that's it. And it's like one of the things kind of similar. It's looking like I'm not ever going back to an office as it currently is. And maybe if I do, like I was driving the 4Runner for a while, but it's like I'll go to fill in and try to fill in the voids for like next year, kind of like race season, depending. It's going to be a different approach. This time off has made me kind of look at the approach I was going to do before, but it doesn't really feel like it's quiet. It's comfortable, has a lot of cool features, but it can play Anchorman if you're sitting in park.
Great.
But it doesn't, I'm making a payment for something to fully chill there. So yeah. at this point, I'm looking at contemplating just dipping it, dropping it, not immediately replacing it because there's not really a need for me to immediately replace it. That's kind of the genesis of it. And then
wait, you're buying a Genesis?
Nick's getting a G70 confirmed.
Sick.
Yes.
Those things are cool. Man, they have sweet interiors.
I was going to say, I'm like, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. So that's kind of where it comes into play. So if I fully pull the trigger on getting rid of it, I'm going to just get rid of it for a while, not pick up anything else for a bit, and then get something that might be a little bit more fun, just to go ahead and enjoy for the driving. Something that if I want to go to the canyons and load a board up onto the top of it, it's a little bit easier than the 4Runner.
Dude, you should buy a E36 or E46 wagon.
Well, you can't get an E36 wagon unless you import one. So that's out. They didn't sell them here.
And E46 wagon.
Lack of response.
I'm not going to.
Like, I think that's a hard pass is what he's trying to say.
How do I put this? They're not my cars.
How about a Z3 non-M coupe?
I actually really love the way those look, but I'm like, no, don't do it. It's a terrible idea. But no, it's it's one of those things. I've looked at. I've told you a couple random things. Old Mazda Speeds, one of those. I've looked.
That was gonna be the next thing I said was a Mazda Speed.
One of those. I've actually looked at like not even enthusiast based in that regards. I've looked at Volvo 240 wagons.
Cool. I dig it.
So I don't even know if it's going to be enthusiast based per se in that regards, but at least something that like I go out in the garage, I'm just like, yeah, like I don't mind you over here. Like, I don't mind the appliance, but it's still like, it's the Chevy Prius was my best description of it. Like, if you had to look, go through the looks of the vehicles, like Prius, Chevy Volt, and like a Nissan Leaf, the Volt wins the looks out of those three, but you're still not really winning a race. You're just you're just beating out the other two guys that don't look good either. Mm. It's one of those things. I gotta still think it out. Start look at the math. Does it make sense for me to do it? Kind of thing. Like, if I do this and then I start traveling again at the beginning of like January, February, do I want to have to buy another car again at that time period? So I still gotta play by ear, but I'm really sitting down, seriously looking at getting rid of the Volt and right now.
I approve. I think it makes sense. Like, realistically, it's nice to have a daily, but if you don't have a commute, it's just not necessary. And then, like, why own a car that only meets a few edge cases for you, you know?
It's just, it doesn't. It was the big travel to Cali, how much I was doing.
Yeah.
But
and there are other options you can do for that, too, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Well. Yeah, so I mean, we might have some daily shakeups here. Actually, interesting enough, my TSX probably won't be gone. It looks like my parents want to buy it from me. They're in the market for a new car. Their fleet is pretty old, and one of the cars has finally given up. And so, like right now, they haven't been driving. Same as myself, but I've been lending them the TSX when they do need to go somewhere because, like, I don't need it, and I have the M3 if I'm going to go somewhere, and they really like it. So they've talked about taking that. So if it goes, it won't go far. And you know, I think knock on wood, what I have lined up is going to be pretty rad. I don't know. I've told all of you what it is, but I'm just not ready to put it out into the world. So I think you guys can all agree that it's going to be cool, right?
Yeah, no, I approve of it.
Yeah. I mean, you really like the new Beetle, right? Like the.
Mm-hmm. I actually mm-hmm. do like the new Beetle.
Oh, perfect.
Speaking of dailies, I've been pretty dang happy with mine.
The Raptor.
The Raptor.
Yeah.
I mean, what's not to be happy with? I'm sure it rides like a couch, and it's got torque for days. And you can,
it is actually, there's many times I'm sitting in there, I'm like, I feel like I'm sitting on a couch.
Yeah,
like, it's just really big. I'm a big person, and I'm like, this is really roomy.
That's why it's so funny that you said you don't like trucks. You know,
I hate trucks,
but you're like truck sized, you know what I mean?
Yeah, thanks, bud. Appreciate it. Hey, Andre, when you're done with that rope tonight, I think I can swing by.
Yeah.
Hang on it too.
Yeah, it's double sided. I swung it over a beam, so we can. Yeah.
World's worst teeter totter, just like.
Yeah, just two fat guys choking each other.
Oh boy, that's.
That's a category on a specific webpage.
All right. Well. Jeez. I got nothing. That took an unexpected turn for Raptors. But my point is, like, it's just funny because, like, I don't know. I'm in the same boat.
You know, it's just funny. You're, like, morbidly obese and huge. I mean, so you buy a truck.
That's not.
You know. I mean, that's kind of what you said. I heard it.
No, because I'm in the same boat. Like, I don't fit well in, like, S2000s, Miatas. I literally sold my last Miata because I couldn't fit in it comfortably. But I love them. But realistically, like, I'm tall, I should be looking at stuff like, you know, trucks and stuff like that for comfort, and I just don't want them. So it's just funny because you're in the same boat. Like, you've had S2000s, you have the 912. Those are tiny, tiny cars, and that's what you want to drive. But genetically speaking, you're kind of predisposed to be a truck guy.
Yeah. My wife's best friend, she's like, so, like, don't you just love sitting up that high? Like, don't you want to get rid of, like, your sports cars now? I'm like, no. If I could drive my sports cars every day, I would drive my sports cars.
Yeah. No, I'm
or a sport car.
Take the fun car.
But I was like, yeah. Like, it is nice having AC, though. AC is nice.
Oh, boy.
And the, like, the seat AC is pretty nice, too.
Yeah.
I like that.
I guess I should probably. I've alluded to that like five times during this podcast, but I had an incident today with the TSX. The AC's been weak for a while. Like it blows and it blows cold, but it was like half speed despite being cranked all the way up. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Is this just the max fan speed? Has it, because like Arizona's gotten ridiculously hot over the last couple of weeks. Like we had a heat wave.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe it just couldn't keep up and that was it. And today just was done. Like nothing was coming out of those vents. It was like if I put an ice cube in my dog's mouth and I let her pant in my face. You know, that's the limit of the AC.
Very specific.
Well, I mean, that's about as good as it got. So I was like, all right, I did like a little bit of Googling, and interestingly enough, like you'd think Honda, Acura, there'd be tons of write-ups on everything. There's literally nothing on this is considered the CW2 or CU2 chassis TSX. There's nothing out there on these cars. No write-ups, no information. This is like the first time I think I've ever in my life done a car repair without like a form write-up. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, all right, I just know based off of like what Andre has told me and just from general knowledge that like it's either the blower motor has completely crapped out or it's the resistor, right? Because there's like the fan resistor to change the speed. I just took a guess and I'm like, well, the resistor is way cheaper. Let's try replacing that. And like, if that doesn't do it, I'll replace the blower motor, you know, because you're supposed to replace both anyway. So I'll just do one at a time. And I did curbside pickup at the AutoZone, actually right by your house, Drew. I was right over there, didn't I?
Hmm.
And I picked up a resistor. I came home and like, I was like, well, the blower motor is in the passenger footwell, so it's got to be somewhere in there. And I just started pulling all the plastic cladding out until I found, like, I was just looking for the part that looked like the part that I had in the box. Like, I was like, because, like, I don't know, there's zero photos of it online. There's zero information. And I'm like, there's a million different plugs and stuff like that underneath. I was like, well, that's got two screws and it's shaped the same, so let me pull that one out and put the new one in. Did it, turned on the car, works. I have full blast AC, stronger than it's ever been.
Mechanic.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So and I fixed the AC, but it was a miserable afternoon. Like driving back, it was way too hot. So yeah, I was a little bit salty about that, but I guess $70 later, I now have working AC again, so that's nice. So yeah, you know, adventures in car repair. I will say, younger me, like even 5 years ago, wouldn't have been able to manage that. Like, I've learned enough through my awful BMWs and Volkswagens that I'm able to like logic my way through a car well enough to fix it. And I know this is a relatively simple repair. It took me like 15 minutes, but still. I was kind of stoked on that. So,
yeah, take the win, man.
Right. I think that's about all I have in terms of update. Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm dominating this podcast in terms of stories, but I had a lot. I got some other.
Dominating.
I have some other M3 changes that I was thinking about making. I thought I'd run them by you to close out this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, two things. One, I want more grip out of the car. And this is a means to an end. I'd like to do some track days here towards like end of October, maybe end of November, depending on like where Arizona as a state is. But
I would like to do that as well. Count me in.
Awesome, actually, because I didn't want to go alone and was going to invite everyone. Nick, you could literally bring the 4Runner. It's Pro Auto Sports. And this self-tech... The first Pro Autosport event I went
just
to years
flipped
ago.
Flipped over in corner two and be like, hey guys, I made it.
Doesn't even matter. There was a Dodge Ram on track with a GTR. And not like a SRT.
Double yellows.
Yeah. So I fully, and you too, Andre, it doesn't even matter. Bring out the Lexus. Don't even pretend like that wouldn't be a blast. But I want to do a track day because right now the M3 obviously is not getting paint this year. So, like, I don't have to stress abusing the car on the track. Like, if a car on slicks goes in the dirt in front of me and then sprays rocks all over the front, what are you going to do? scratch my paint. What paint? So I want to do that. And to that end, I'm a little bit stancy right now. So I'm not super comfortable tracking it on like the 225s and like tucked wheels. So I've been trying to find some lighter 17s so I can run like at least a 235. And I think I found the wheel, and I'll send you guys a photo after this, but it's all of the Nürburgring E36s. Like, there's like a crew, like a squad. And they all run this pro, the brand is called Pro Track. And it's called, I think they're Pro Track One Sport or something like that. And it's like a specific E36 spec. It's 17x9, ET30. They're all running like 235, 40, 17 tires, square all the way around, like 4 degrees of camber, so it clears the fenders. And these things rip. The current record, yeah, the current record is a stock bottom end E36 M3. And granted, this is the Euro motor, so it makes 100 more horsepower than I have. But he did a 7:17 lap of the Nürburgring with just,
is that good?
It's phenomenal. That's flying. The footage is terrifying.
I was kidding. I'm sorry.
Okay, I didn't know if you like were up to date on Bridge to Gantry, you know, times, but like that is insane. The footage is scary to watch. Like he's I don't know, Nick, have you seen it?
Yeah, well, that's so how I found out about that car was KW sent me an email that said, mm-hmm. Hey, check this out. And it's just like seven, eight photos of this E36, like one of them, he's in the air just, and it's
full like 4 feet off the ground.
Yeah, like it, and the whole breakdown of the suspension because it's by them, which is just an insane setup. And then it's 717, and then the video link at the bottom. And like, that's how I found it. And like, it was funny because you were like, well, I'm looking at these wheels that's popular on the Nürburgring. And I literally go back to the H&R email. I'm sorry, the KW email. Look at the first photo. I'm like, yep, it's the exact same wheel. And it was on a completely different car.
Yeah, they're all, it's lightweight, it fits. You know, it lets you run a decent tire, so you can put like a semi slick on it. I want to get
a clear and air. If it's taking air and not bending, that's a damn sturdy wheel.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're all TV approved, so German standards for aftermarket wheels are pretty rigorous. So like, you know, they're gonna hold up to abuse. So like, okay, I wanna get these wheels, put on some 235s. I think they'll be my track only wheels, to be totally honest, or maybe I'll take them to the canyons, but I still want to roll around on my 1552s on the street. Just because like sticky tires on the street is annoying. They like howl. Mm-hmm. So I'll still have the wheels that are on there right now for the street, but I wanna get these. And then I wanna do something about my front seats. I wanna get some Recaro Profis and swap out the stock seats for these. Couple different things.
You want Sparcos?
No, not Sparcos, Recaros.
I might be selling some Sparcos.
Oh, are you? Actually, are they the ones out of the 930?
Yeah, I'll probably be selling those here. I just got to figure out what's going in there. I'm kind of losing my mind because by the end of that drive, my back was almost broken, and I'm sitting so high up, like, I could go down 4 more inches. It's just stupid.
That's a really good selling point for a comfortable seat for Oliver there.
Yeah, because I have a great lower back.
Yeah.
See, that's part of the problem. Like, I've talked to a few friends who have had buckets, and then I think back to my 2002 when I put the Korns buckets in there. Like,
those were comfy.
Yeah, they were comfortable. Like, I didn't have any lower back pain driving that car. And I get it.
My lower back pain's from like having to slouch because I'm too tall with the seat rails.
Okay, so then that probably won't be an issue for me because like the E36 has got way more headroom, and I can put it on the floor. Yeah, message me after this. I might be interested because if I can save some money over the Recaros and they're comfortable enough, I've ridden in those. Right, those are the same seats that I rode in it last time.
Yeah, I just don't know when it's going to happen. I got to find another set, so.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll talk about it. But right now I'm looking at Recaro Profis, potentially Drew Sparcos, same. The goal is not to leave these in the cart permanently. I want to do some track days and stuff like that, but I really want to get all my seats not only fixed, like my stock seats fixed, but reupholstered. I want to do them like the LTW seats in the Alcantara on the outside with like probably not M fabric on the inside because I think it's probably a little bit much visually, but still just some sort of contrast. But I don't want them to be leather anymore because you slide around on them. So that's the eventual goal, like an OEM plus, you know, street interior. But in the meantime, if I'm going to take my car on a few track days and I can save my spine any amount of damage, which is just constant now, I think bucket seats are the way to go. So I'm looking at that. Those are the two major changes: wheels and tires, bucket seats, and just track it for like the rest of the season. Because like I got the Brembos, so like I have the braking power, and the car doesn't leak anymore. And I got fresh suspension everywhere, and pretty soon like I'll be able to launch it without any worry. So the only thing I'm missing is grip and like lateral support. It's basically like a light track build, you know. So
I like it.
Yep.
I think it makes sense when you look at it. As long as it's going to be comfortable with it, I think the fact that you're going with it, the right approach, it's not a full time, or if you find out that the seats are miserable for you, you're not so headstrong in the aspect of it's got to have these seats that you won't go back to seats that are more comfortable. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to get, like, it's not a full track car. It's never going to get a full cage. Like, I'm never taking out the AC. Like, I just put a radio back in, you know. So I'm not trying to max out the car in terms of, like, lap times and stuff like that. I'm just trying to enjoy it as much as I can for what it is. So I think, just after talking to some of my friends, I think bucket seats are the way to go for me right now. It's not my long-term goal, but until I can get my stock seats fully restored, I can go back to that. I think that'll be the happy interim, but I just got to figure out what I'll be comfortable in. So, I mean, that might be Drew's Sparkos, because honestly, I remember being pretty comfortable in them.
Yeah, it's just the height of them that's a killer.
Yeah.
And I really want a red interior. What about Vader's? How much volt side bolstering is on there?
So there's a lot of side bolstering on them, but one, they are the heaviest seats known to man. They're like 120. Really? They're 120 pounds a piece or something like that. They're so heavy.
Holy smokes.
They are so heavy. The other thing is, at this point, they have gotten so expensive. I could get like brand new Recaro Profis for like the same price I can get Vader's, which will probably have something broken on them, you know. Just everyone in the E36 community wants them. It's the same like LTW wings, you know. It's like the E36 starter pack. I had them in my TI and my E30. You know, I had that set that was pretty nice, and I like them. But I think what I'm going for long term for OEM, I would rather have my non Vader M seats, the sport seat.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the track day stuff and just for like the canyons and stuff like that, I think I would rather have like a proper fixed back bucket. So I think that'll be the go-to. And I'm not going to put in a harness bar. You know, I'm not going to put in harnesses. I'm just going to use stock seat belt. And I'm not going to put in a roll bar or anything like that because I still want to be able to use the back seat if I need to. So also, I think for a street car, I don't know. You guys have heard my argument about that, but I'm always a little bit wary about a roll bar on a street car just because my head always sticks up so high. I'm worried about getting smacked by it. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm leaning. Those are the big changes. I'm just trying to find seats and stuff like that. So maybe Drew's seats will come in clutch. I don't know. We'll just get some Lysol.
We'll find out, I guess.
Wipe them down. But yeah, those are the big changes. I don't know. Andre, I'm surprised you didn't shout at me saying, no, you don't do it, don't do it. But did I at least alleviate some of your concerns that it's not a permanent thing?
I mean, if it makes you happy.
that's Andre's way of saying, no, this is no good, right?
I mean, if it makes you happy.
I appreciate that, buddy. Thank you. Thank you for your bit of confidence. Don't worry. It's not permanent, but I think it'll be better for the short term. So, yeah. Cool. Well, I guess that's kind of my last big update. I had quite a few of them throughout this one. But to recap, E36 has a radio and is currently getting fixed at a shop because I don't have a lift. Land Rover exploded, but will be fixed thanks to some nice guys on the forums.
A lot of work.
Yeah, and a lot of work. Miata is getting no radio, and the windows will be untouched. The Volt is probably gone. The TSX is probably gone. There hasn't been any changes to the E39. You didn't do anything to the Lexus since we last spoke, right, Andre?
Nope.
So those are the same. Oh, that's a pretty comprehensive fleet update.
Yeah.
I think we covered it all.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we should start planning on track day. Nick, you'll bring up the 4Runner. Andre, you bring up the LS 400.
I'm out in 2020.
Well, yeah, even 2021. Doesn't matter. I just want 4Runner on track. I don't care when. All right.
Well, I mean, I don't care about the year. I just don't want to go to a track.
Oh, come on. You know it'd be a little bit fun. Just toasting the brakes on your Lexus.
You had fun, Andre, when you rode with me.
Yeah. That was so you driving.
Can we ride two people with the Pro Auto event?
Yeah, you can, actually.
As long as they're in the front
I remember
seat.
My first time. Yeah, because when I wrecked, I had a passenger with me. So, yeah, absolutely. You can.
There you go. That's how you do it.
Yeah, that was fun. I think I already told that story on the podcast, so we don't have to rehash it. But yeah, absolutely. So you guys can roll too deep in the 4Runner. Oh, man. If you're not doing this year, it's a shame things won't be cleared up because they always have a Thanksgiving event called Mondo Bondo. Have you heard of this?
No.
So for those not familiar, we have our main track near us in Phoenix is Wild Horse Motorsports Park, formerly Firebird. Some of you may know it as Firebird. And on the same property, there's also the Bonnerant Race School, right? So it's all like one big property, but it's technically two separate racetracks. If you go to like Google Earth or, you know, Google Maps or whatever, and you look at Wild Horse Motorsports Park, and you look at Bondurant, there's actually tarmac connecting the two tracks, despite it being two separate businesses and two separate, like, racetracks entirely. Like, they're not supposed to be connected, but they have tarmac between them. And once a year, Pro Auto books out Wild Horse, I think it's East Track, and the entirety of the Bondurant track, and links them. So you have one massive, like,
oh, that's cool.
7 miles, and they do, it's every Thanksgiving, they do a four-day race day. The entry fee is absurd, but you get access to both of those tracks in like one long loop. So like one lap is like, I think 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes, something like that. It's a really lengthy lap. So, yeah, that's the event. I've always wanted to do that one, just because like how often are you going to get to race track that long, short of like Nürburgring? But
yeah.
And maybe someday. I don't think I could even do that, just because the entry fee I think is like well over $1,000, and I think it sells out instantly every year. So
that's crazy. That's bananas.
Yep,
racing is expensive, man. Oh. That is,
yeah.
Cars in general are expensive. Racing is next level.
I agree. I think it'd be a good place to kind of get like more comfortable with the M3, because like, I really want, place. Yeah, for sure. Like Tortilla Flat is not the place to max.
No, out not at all.
And like
that's always kind of what I run into with, you know, the
930
is it just? That's kind of a scary drive to be like, all right, and let's go for it. You know,
right? Yeah, no, it's terrifying. And then also, if you mess up, you have the potential of hitting someone else. You have the potential of going off the road and then getting, you know, a ticket or whatever. It's you know, not worth it. So I really want to be able to take that car, not because I have any interest in turning into a dedicated track car. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. But I really want to learn the limits of that car. I really want to be able to drive it there. Because eventually, I plan to up the horsepower anyways. And, like, what's the point of upping the horsepower if I can't use the entirety of the 240 I have right now? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, that's the plan. I just want to do a few track days to do that. Once I have a hang of it, we can up the power, get a hang of it again, and then probably I have most of the tracking out of my system because I'm happier in the canyons anyways, to be totally honest.
I wish there were more canyons around here. That's the one thing I'm so jealous about. People in California is a lot more opportunities.
Angeles Crest, Malibu. I would kill to have Angeles Crest just in my backyard. Like, just this fucking morning, a buddy of mine on Instagram, he's like off work today, and I watched this whole Instagram story of he like hops in his Cayman, drives up to Angeles Crest like 5:30 in the morning, stops by Alice's restaurant, does some donuts. He's just 45 minutes away from his house, and he's just chilling on like one of the best roads in the world, you know? And he does that all morning, and he's like, all right, time to go back home. I'm like,
well, yeah, and we're done.
Yeah.
And then here it's like, okay, yeah, sure, we have Tortilla Flat 45 minutes away, but it's not, I mean, it's a good road, but it's not exactly world class. Let's be honest here. So.
Yeah. By the way, I sent something in group chat that you guys may or may not laugh at.
I'll have to check it out later.
But just, as the recording but just some thoughts. Nick's there.
Okay. Nick, could you describe it for the audience so we can close out on that note?
He poorly photoshopped Rega Masters?
Yes, I really want Rega Masters on that car.
I think that would be a good decision. And I have seen worse photoshops before, so I will give you.
I'm posting this to our Instagram. I was gonna
say it took me a brief moment to catch it. I was like, is this wheels blue,
dude? If you squint,
if
you squint, you nailed it.
If you zoom out actually and make it look smaller, you're just like, oh yeah, Rega Masters, those are awesome.
Damn, some look.
They look so big. Both those wheels are 17-inch wheels, and they look huge on the car. I really feel like that car needs 16s.
Keep 17s. You can run a better tire. I think it's going to get way too squishy on you with 16s on that car.
Yeah, it might get a little wild.
With that amount of horsepower, you want some sidewall rigidness.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, on your fantastic Photoshop, thank you all for listening. Appreciate it. Of course, follow us on Instagram at Supercarcast. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to it. I know we're on so many services now, thanks to our distribution platform. So that's nice. Share it with your friends. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you want to hear. All right. Thanks for listening, guys.